reading can be found on page 1105, the reading from Acts 11, verses 1 to 18. Page 1105. Peter explains his actions. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again." Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto God."
We sing again hymn number 198, "Let the Filled Eyes of the Lost and Dwell."
Thank you.
3, and so the book of John, chapter 13, verses 38 and 45, found on page 1082 of your Bible. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Thanks be to God. And now, let's sing hymn 542.
I was slightly shocked when I realised that this week in preparing this sermon. But in our reading this morning in Acts, Simon Peter has been breaking down his own walls and is being held accountable for his actions. I mean, let's face it, we can all hear the questions. What are you playing at? What on earth have you done? I'm sure we've all at some point had to answer questions just like these at some point in our life. I'm sure we've had to justify our actions at some time or another to a parent, a colleague, a friend, a spouse. Well, Peter, in our story this morning, is having one of those what are you playing at moments in Jerusalem. Peter is having to explain himself to the Jewish members of the early church. Peter has been changing things, and let's face it, nobody likes change. Our text from Acts this morning speaks of dietary restrictions. It would be very simple to actually have a look at today, our modern dietary restrictions, latest fads that pass, and see where we go with that. I mean, let's face it, I come from the country that gave us the deep fried Mars bar. 1992, the Haven Chip Shop in Stonehaven is attributed with coming up with this delicacy. In August, I'm going to Canada, to the province of Quebec, where they gave us poutine, which is chips covered in gravy and curd cheese. We could even go over the border to France and have snails and frogs' legs. And while no doubt it would be a lot of fun to look at what culinary delights we could all bring to the table this morning, this reading has an awful lot more serious background to it. Because in the early church, dietary restrictions were a very serious matter. Let's not forget the early church was Jewish. For the early church, Christ was the Messiah who was promised to the Jews. The good news of Christ was only for the Jews who were clean. Dietary decisions were not funny, or a question of taste, or a question of the latest fad. They were deeply held religious views. And from the start of our reading, it appears that Peter has got himself into quite a bit of trouble. So let's just do a little synopsis of what happened. Peter's having to explain his actions, which are actually told in full in the chapter before, in chapter 10. He was praying at the house of Simon the Tanner in Joppa. We're told this in chapter 10, that he started to get hungry, and he had his vision, sheep held four corners with all types of four-legged animals, reptiles and birds. Kill and eat, he's told, but he refuses the invitation, saying, nothing unclean has entered my mouth. He's told, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. Now, the rules of kosher food are complex, but let's just have a look at a few examples to see where this vision's actually going. Under kosher rules, you can only eat land animals that ruminate, that's to chew cud, and have cloven hooves. Cattle, goats, sheep, deer, and interestingly also giraffes. No pigs, no reptiles, no rabbits, no hares, no four-legged chickens. And actually, interestingly, this also means that Australia is the only continent in the world that has no native kosher animals. But back to our reading. Peter's been invited to go to the house of Cornelius, a centurion, inside then Caesarea. Now that's about 50 kilometres from here to Geneva, from Joppa. Cornelius is a centurion. He's a professional Roman soldier. He's a Gentile. But in chapter 10, verse 2, we're given a bit more background about Cornelius and his family. We're told that Cornelius and his family are devout, God-fearing. They give to the poor and pray regularly. In the meeting at Cornelius' house, through the Holy Spirit, there's a realization that God wants his gifts to be shared by all. Peter says, I was told by the Holy Spirit, and who am I to go against what the Holy Spirit says? So where does this leave us today? God's the God of opportunity and surprises. The Bible is full of stories where God takes people by surprise. Moses and the burning bush. Moses and Pharaoh. Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. The disciples getting worried when they had 5,000 people to feed and only 5 loaves and 2 fish. The conversion of Paul. From last week, the resurrection of Tabitha. And this morning, the 180-degree turn on what is clean and unclean. I'm sure we've all had experiences where God's been working in our lives and has surprised us. And I'm sure we will have more of these experiences and opportunities in the coming weeks as we prepare to welcome our new minister 7 weeks to go. So God has surprised Peter and the early church, and he surprises us. But many of these surprises have one thing in common. They're God's welcome. God welcomes. God welcomes all. Jesus was always welcoming people, especially the unexpected ones. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. The woman at the well. The children. The Good Samaritan. The prodigal son. Jesus welcomed all those who didn't fit in. In preparing this, I came across a story. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it's about a large, very proper Presbyterian church in the southern USA. One particular Sunday, several celebrations were taking place and the church was packed. After the service had started, a different type of person came through the large front doors. This person was wearing old, dirty clothes. This person had a plastic bag with what looked like all his possessions in it. He walked down the centre aisle, looking for a seat, or looking for at least someone to move slightly to make space for him. He walked across to the side aisle and walked about halfway back up it. No seat was open. But this time, as you can imagine, all the eyes were on him. He looked different. He was late. He was disrupting the service. So after he walked back down the side aisle a bit, he shrugged his shoulders, walked to the front. Can you imagine? He just sat down in the middle of the centre aisle. There was a gasp or two from the congregation. The minister continued to preach, but there was definitely an uncomfortable feeling in the room. Most people just wanted this guy off the floor and out of their beautiful church. A moment later, the session clerk came striding down the centre aisle. He was an usher that day. Several women in the congregation went, James is going to escort him out, they figured. All the eyes were on James as he walked down the aisle. When he finally got to the unwelcome guest, he slowly bent down and took a seat right beside him. Nobody remembered a word of the pastor's sermon, but that didn't matter. James had actually preached the biggest message there ever was. All welcome. But how easy is it for us to put our words into action? How welcoming are we, really? Yes, I know the message has to be received when it's been passed, But that's another sermon and another reading. How could there be a passing message that all are welcome? In our reading this morning, it's clear that if everything was left to Peter and the rest of the early church, nothing would have been changed. It was only with the intervention of the Holy Spirit that things got moving. And the best bit is it's still happening today. The divinity lecturer at Yale University, Tom Trocher, put it this way in a poem. Look who gathers at Christ's table. See the stories that they bring. Some weeping, some are laughing. Some have songs they want to sing. Others asked why they're invited, burdened by the wrongs they've done. Christ insists that all are welcome. There's room for everyone. Bring your joy and bring your sadness and be prepared to be surprised by the host whose hands are wounded, who will open up your eyes. When he blesses bread and breaks it, truth and manna from above, and then passes wine that wakens in your heart the taste of love. I want to leave you with this thought, though. In one of his Peanuts cartoons, Charles Schulz has Snoopy despairing at his future. Yesterday, I was a dog. Today, I'm a dog. Tomorrow, I'll probably still be a dog. There's so little hope for advancement. I'm sure we have lots of hope for advancement if we only listen and act. Amen.
Let us pray. The same yesterday, today, must we pray as individuals, as congregations, as the Church of Scotland, the courage to let you be the living God we say you are. Open our eyes to what you are already doing. Open our mind, our mouths, to talk of you. Open our hearts to show your love. Open our minds to see in the questions asked opportunities instead of threats, challenges to be faced, with a sensitivity to the movement of your spirit. As we talk and look and read, show us, we pray, your will. Reveal the plans you have for us and give us the courage to work with you to bring those plans to fruition. We bring you our prayers for others and for the world, a world which we take for granted, which we take from without looking back. Help us, good Lord, to care more for your creation, to tend it and enjoy it as the gift it is. But help us too to care for your people, to see others as gifts from you too. Don't let us dismiss those who are different or with whom we find difficulty to agree. Don't let us live treating some as more valuable or important than others. Help us to see suffering and poverty and homelessness as the terrible things they are. And may they inspire us to make this world fairer for everyone. We bring before you those who couldn't live, we couldn't live without. Those who care for us and make us smile. Who help us and inspire us. May we in return brighten the days of others. And may we too point to you as the giver of all that is good and of life itself. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, giving glory to our Heavenly Father and Creator. Amen.
And now your offering will be received. We bring our moments and our days as gifts again to you, because you gave us skills to work and create. We pledge to you what we make with our hands and the money we earn with our skills, because each one of us has gifts and skills, some recognised and some still hidden. We offer what we know we can see and make and do. Because you freely offered us redeeming love, we bring the gifts of love and gratitude to you. From gift to gift, from grace to grace, our gifts are only gifts of yours returned. So use these gifts, our lives and this family of faith, as rays of your light for the world, helping them dispel the darkness and reveal your power to work through us and make all things
Thank you.
May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.